Little backstory on me. I grew up in the woods on acres of farmland way outside city limits. And my family has this sort of Thanksgiving tradition. I guess it's kind of podunk. We gather all of our pumpkins together, take them out back, and use them for target practice. It's pretty much how we ring in the Christmas season. Now, it's just for fun. It's in a totally safe environment. Nobody's around. But criminologist Alex Del Carmen says there is much more to consider if you plan to keep a gun with you every day.
First of all, you know, the fact that you can carry a gun, it doesn't mean that you should, right? There are people in our society and in our great state that are of age, people that may not necessarily be familiar with a gun or how to clean a gun or how to keep up with a gun or how to put it in a safe place or how to handle it, quite frankly.
And listen, we are not here to debate the politics of gun control. Who should or shouldn't be able to carry, where or what types of guns, none of that kind of thing. Last legislative session, Texas lawmakers passed a bill that would allow most Texans to carry a gun without a permit. That law took effect in September 2021.
I am very hesitant to draw any parallels to the passage of the open carry with the proliferation of gun violence or the increase in guns as a whole. Because, you know, the reality is that all that the bill did was make it easier to carry a gun. The same people that could carry a gun before the bill can carry it after. They just don't have to go through the training to do so.
That's Chief Jimmy Perdue. He heads up the North Richland Hills Police Department just outside of Fort Worth, and he's the president of the Texas Police Chiefs Association.
So most everybody, there have been a small increase in the number of people that legally carry them, but frankly, the people that were illegally carrying them didn't get a permit anyway. So it really didn't affect them. Again, I don't think there is a one-to-one relationship. I do understand that there has been an increase, but I don't think it's related to the passage of that bill.
I'm Bailey Friday, and Texas wants to know, what should you be aware of as a gun owner in Texas?
I think in general, the United States has a very strong gun culture. It's not only specific to Texas, although I would agree with the notion that in Texas, we just love our guns.
Del Carmen is the dean of the School of Criminology at Tarleton State University and the director of the Institute for Predictive Analytics in Criminal Justice.
I mean, we love to carry them. We love to be able to say that we have the Second Amendment that is part of our DNA.
I'm a native Texan. I've lived here my whole life. So I'm used to the gun culture that Texas has. It is unique in most of the country. There are a few states in the South that have somewhat similar, but not probably to the same degree that we do here in Texas. I've been doing law enforcement now for over 40 years. And, you know, I've encountered guns my whole career. And it's just something. Now, I will say that over that span of my career, there has been a greater increase in the number of guns that are out there on the streets. The number of people willing to use them and carry them has certainly increased over the years. And I think that is not really endemic to our culture, just endemic to the fact that guns are more proliferate more across the country as a whole, even in states that don't have a gun culture themselves.
More than 131,000 guns were purchased in Texas in January, that's according to FBI data, up 2% year over year, but down about 28% from December. In all, more than 1.7 million guns were sold in Texas last year, the third highest total in the U.S., behind just Illinois and Kentucky.
I think if you look at here in Texas, what we do as far as the acceptance of carrying a gun in public places, the fact that it's not a rarity to go to a stopping area somewhere on 45 or on I-30 and be able to see someone at the gas station that is actually showing that they're carrying a gun and no one becomes shocked. I think that general acceptance in Texas allows us to, in the criminal justice system, to not necessarily be alarmed at the fact that someone defended their property, say, with the usage of a gun. Whereas in other states, that may actually be a rarity, it may be the abnormal situation. Here in Texas is very normal and to some degree expected.
Different rules apply depending on where you are and the circumstances, but let's start with what Del Carmen just said. if someone were to break into your home. That falls under a term you may have heard before, the Castle Doctrine. But what is it?
The Supreme Court, in cases that were actually heard some time ago, actually said that the home of an individual is like the person's castle. The castle law, essentially in Texas, although it's very generous from the standpoint of the language and what it allows you to do, is that it allows for you to protect essentially your home, right? So the Texas State Penal Code, which is actually section 9.31, it actually states that people in general may use force against another party when they reasonably believe that force is needed to protect them against that other person's threat or use of force. And so in simple terms, it means if you have no other alternative, if you feel like your life is in danger and the lives of other people are in danger, and if you feel that the force that you are going to use is either commensurate or is going to the other person's force or is going to neutralize the threat, then you're allowed to do that in your property.
However, Del Carmen did emphasize reasonable.
And so you can only, though, use the level of force that is needed to defend yourself, right? And so you can't just go in there and play Rambo, bring a shotgun and kill the person while on the ground, because that's just what you want to do and what you've seen in movies. The idea is, again, reasonableness. Is it reasonable for you to pull? Now, if I see a person breaking into my house and I'm alone or I'm with my wife and kids, and I see that person that's armed, and even if they're not armed, if they're breaking into my home, I'm going to pull my gun out, and you better believe that I'm going to use it, right? Because at that point, you don't know if the person is armed. You don't know if the person is going to damage your property and kill you along the way. And so I would definitely defend my property based on that. But, you know, somebody's on my front lawn putting a pamphlet that says, you know, they can cut your lawn in the summer, and you come out and you shoot at that person, the courts would actually absolutely find that not to be reasonable, and you would likely be charged with some sort of a capital punishment of some sort.
He says, if you decide to carry a gun outside your home or outside your vehicle, things tend to get more complicated.
I would argue, and I've always told people, that they're really, really, you know, bad dudes, you know, when they're in the range and they're shooting at a target, and they talk all this trash about how they're going to be facing the offender or somebody that breaks into their home, and they're going to use the AR, and, you know, we don't call 911 here. You know, that sort of imagery, it's all fine and dandy if you're sitting at a bar, you know, bragging it to your friends. But in reality, when somebody walks into that home of yours and breaks into your home in the middle of the night when you're not expecting it, and you're having to pull that gun out, I want to tell you that that moment before you even fire at the individual is going to have changed your life.
It is a very significant mental exercise to choose to use a weapon in any situation. When people don't think about that ahead of time, when they don't go through at least an introduction of this is what could happen, this is the issues you got to deal with, the mental trauma, the emotional toll that comes with that, I think a lot of people aren't really prepared for what that might happen. Officers go through a lot of training, and I certainly don't expect the average citizen to have that same level of training that we do. But just to be exposed to it, and the consideration that if you choose to do this, these could be some repercussions to it. The other issue is that, and something that has probably gotten more press, is the fact that if you're not willing to use that weapon, then it's very possible that weapon could be used against you.
From a psychological perspective, you're never going to be the same again, particularly if you shoot at the person and you end up killing them. Whether legally or not, you know, you have taken somebody's life, right? So you can be justified morally, ethically, and legally, but in the end, it is something that you're going to have to carry with you forever. So first of all, understand that it is a life-changing components.
But without training, you're not prepared. Mm. And when anytime something happens to us and we're not prepared, we're not going to react in the calm, controlled manner that really keeps us in charge of the situation.
Lee Richardson is the founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas.
Anytime that something happens unexpectedly, those emotions come into play, whether it's fear, whether it's shock, or whether it's anger about how it happened, but you bring that emotional response into play, and that does not allow anyone to clearly think through the best thing to do.
While firearm training is no longer technically required by law in Texas, everyone we spoke to for this episode emphasized the importance of familiarizing yourself with a gun if you own one or if you choose to carry one. Is there a pride thing involved here with some people not wanting to get licensed because they're too proud to do it?
I think there could be, because if you grew up with it and if you were the best in the family and you were the most successful, why should I be bothered? I mean, why should I go spend $40 and why should I spend half a day? And you know as well as I do, time is one thing that nobody has enough of. So I think that pride comes into play, just as it does with a lot of decisions and lifestyle choices that we make.
If you go through the CHL certification, you will note that the actual, you know, shooting aspect of it when you go to the range is very limited. Someone with very limited knowledge on guns can actually go there and qualify. The target is very close to the individual. I would argue the training or the information that you're given about the gun is also very limited.
Personal story time. I actually went through the process of getting my gun license a couple years ago. My family did it together. As a matter of fact, it was a family activity for us, and it was a lot easier than I expected it to be. We got some donuts, took a class that lasted 3, maybe 4 hours, and then we all went to the gun range to shoot. It was the first time I'd actually been to a gun range, believe it or not. And I ended up getting a perfect score on my target test. I tied with my best friend, beat out the rest of my family, and I have the least shooting experience out of all of them, so I still hold that over them. I'm pretty proud about it.
It's both mechanical as well as emotional and technical as well, the value of going through that training, which is why we were advocating to maintain some level of training. We did not dispute with the governor and the legislature that the constitutional ability for somebody to carry a weapon. We just were hoping that they would require people to go through some basic level of training before they actually got that permit to do so. But they chose differently, and then we're enforcing what's there.
And there are still some things to enforce. You can't carry a gun at schools, sporting events, bars, government buildings, or polling places. There have been some changes since the permitless carry law took effect too. In August, a federal district court ruled that Texans above the age of 18 could apply for a license to carry a firearm on a college campus or bring them across state lines. And earlier this month, a federal appellate court eased restrictions on gun ownership for those convicted of domestic violence. Purdue and Del Carmen aren't only concerned with people being trained to fire a gun. They say they have a responsibility to know how to handle it, too.
Gun is obviously a very dangerous weapon, a very dangerous tool that if used improperly can cause untold damage to the people that are well-intended to use it or not. So the training that you go through is not just a functional training, is how do you, you know, pull the trigger? How do you change the slide? How do you properly clean it? All those sort of things. That's very, very important. And it will, and frankly, the people, often people that get injured either by accidental discharges or things like that are people who have not been trained or experienced in that.
One of the concerns that we criminologists often have is the fact that people may actually misuse the gun or leave it in a place where a child can actually attend to it, or drop the gun and it will discharge accidentally. That has happened, not at the frequency as some opponents of gun access would like it to be, but it still happens enough that it concerns us.
He says it's hard to know how often that happens, though, because those instances don't always get reported to law enforcement.
The data, I would argue, is probably really skewed from the standpoint of the level of honesty and the frequency in which people actually report it. One could also argue, hypothetically, that states that actually are friendly to guns, such as Texas, you would find that people have a certain tolerance for those misfires if they don't hurt somebody, and they would know what to do in those situations.
There has not been just a huge wild, wild west, so to speak, of weapons out on the streets. There has been anecdotally an increase in the number of road rage incidents that have occurred in our community as well as other communities across North Texas. Again, I'm hesitant to draw a parallel between that and the Open Carry Act. I do think that a lot of the increase in road rages was more directly related to COVID and the emotional toll that that was taking on people, and just people were just more angry for a time period. And that has seemed to subside somewhat here recently.
No matter how a person decides to use their gun, whether it's at their home, in public, or if it accidentally goes off, they are still accountable to the law.
Anytime you use a weapon, you are putting yourself in at some both criminal and civil liability. I mean, you have to make the decisions whether that my use of this weapon is going to be viewed legally appropriate and both ethically appropriate. So, and just because you think, you know, I was threatened, therefore I use my weapon and I'm going to be fine. You know, you may still be arrested. You may still be prosecuted. You may still go through the court case, even if you're ultimately found to be not guilty, or you may not ever go through the prosecution, but you may be arrested. And so there is a cost associated with that, that people would think, well, it's not just automatic. It's because I know I was right. Therefore, I'm not going to go through that process.
I know this question is way more nuanced than a simple answer could provide, but I want to ask, what are the circumstances in which it's appropriate to use a weapon to defend yourself?
You're right. That is a significantly nuanced answer. And you can expect that I'm going to be very careful about answering that, because the answer is very legally is it depends. And it depends on so many different scenarios, so many different answers, that it's hard to say one specific thing, except to say that when you are in fear of your life and you have the means by which to protect your life, then you have a legal right to in order to defend yourself. That is the bottom line to it. After that, it becomes much more nuanced and much more questionable about things.
There's no question that when you pull a gun out and you know what you're doing, it is going to neutralize the threat. Having said that, I would argue that there are also instances where people are armed and they don't use it, because one thing is to train in a virtual environment. Another thing is to actually use it, right? So look at what happened in Uvalde. You had, 400 police officers outside the school, all of them armed, all of them well-trained, and they did not engage, right? Until they actually, that small group of officers did engage the suspect and killed him. So in the end, what we go back to is the idea that not just because you have a gun, you're going to use it. And just because you use a gun, it doesn't mean that you're going to be effective.
Del Carmen and Perdue come from very different backgrounds. Each informed their perspective on firearms.
I'm a first-generation immigrant from Nicaragua. So I came from a country that, at the time that I was a child, I experienced the Civil War, I experienced communism and whatnot. And in my own native land where I was born, although I consider myself an American and moreover a Texan, right, because I've been in Texas 25 years, I will say to you that I really feel very strongly that the Second Amendment of the Constitution is a very important amendment.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and we never had guns in our house at all. My uncle was a World War II veteran, and he had guns. And I was when I we go see him, we would talk about it. He took me hunting, bird hunting occasionally. I think we are appropriately cautious, being careful about guns. I do think we need to have some boundaries and some buffers on there because of the proliferation of violence through media, stuff like that. We need to be careful that we don't give too young people the ability to get access to guns until they're ready to have their brain formed to make those good decisions.
I really do think that it is important for us not to politicize our access and the right to carry. But at the same time, we also need to be responsible gun owners. And what I mean by that is that people need to really be trained on how to use a gun if they've never used one before. People should be obliged to go to the range every year if they want to keep up with the ability of carrying a gun and actually qualify with instructors that really know what they're doing. So you minimize then the possibility of an accident, and you minimize the possibility of people making mistakes when that gun does come out.
I'm Bailey Friday at News Radio 1080 KRLD in Dallas-Fort Worth. Thank you for joining me on our podcast, Texas Wants to Know. If you liked the show, please give us a rating and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was produced by Chris Blake and Savannah Jones. Original music by Michael Eisenstein. editorial support from Cooper Mall. Odyssey's managing producer for National News Podcasts is Myron Kaplan.